It's just gone 14 minutes past 3 o'clock. It is the 6th of February. It's Thursday. It's a glorious day in Hoedspruit. And we're going to talk everything Leopard. I'm joined by, I got her name wrong, as I always do. I'm joined by the lovely lady, Maureen, who's coming to me live on Zoom. Can't be in the studio today, but she's coming to me on Zoom. Maureen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me. Excited.
It's lovely to have you, and you do such an amazing job. So before we dive into the wonderful world of leopards, tell us a little bit about you and how does someone like you find yourself running an NPC looking after the well-being of our leopards?
Yeah, so actually, you might hear it from my accent, but I am French originally, but I actually did a master in conservation in Belgium, and then I moved to South Africa, which was end of 2015. So it's been almost 9 years now that I'm in South Africa, and already been in the field of conservation. But I also have a bit of a background in the tourism industry, as I was actually for 3 years in the Okavango Delta in Botswana.
Okay.
So a good mix of both.
So Africa's firmly in your blood?
Oh, definitely. And it's in my family blood also.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about the Ingwe, the research project, how it was started and how long that you've been going.
So actually, Ingwe took over the project in November 2022. But initially, Ingwe is actually a project that used to belong to a UK charity called the OnTrack Foundation. It's all belonging to OnTrack Safaris Company, and it's been run by two wildlife conservationists, Will and Carol Fox, and they had been running Ingwe for over 10-15 years. And then it happened, and when I was in Botswana, I knew I was about to leave Botswana, and I was looking for a new project, and I had this idea that I will explain a bit more now about how to bridge the gap between conservation and the tourism industry. And then, I got in touch with Will and Carol and offered them to get Ingwe into a citizen science project. And they luckily gave me the opportunity. So it's been like a whole growing journey, basically, with them mentoring me a lot. And then last year in July, they offered me to take my independence and to register Ingwe as a non-profit company in South Africa. So quite an exciting journey. All of this in less than 2 years.
Sure, it's very exciting. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to live on the Hoedspruit Wildlife Estate. So I'm fortunate enough to have really great interactions with leopard. And you know, you always have that adrenaline when you come home at dark that you might have an opportunity of finding a nice kitty cat in our driveway. But tell me a little bit about this bridging the gap that you talk about, and what Ingwe does in a nutshell. Just give us a little bit of an overview of what Ingwe is all about.
So how the idea initially sort of came out, it was actually when I was in Botswana. So I was running this luxurious camp, and I was realizing all of the guides and the guests coming back from game drive being very excited about all of the sightings and always being willing to share their pictures. And I was thinking, like, they're spending hours and hours on drive all the time. So surely, like, there could be a way to involve them in monitoring the carnivores in the area. So I tried to implement this in Botswana, but unfortunately I had to leave it after because my visa ran out. So like the whole idea was to try to really initially harness the power of the safari industry and of the guides and lodges and all of the reserve by getting them to actually log data and to do like the hard work of the of the researchers and to collect data in the field. So it's how the whole idea came about trying to involve people who initially are not researchers, that we call like common people who are like called citizen scientists, because they are citizens but also helping science. And by trying to involve as many people as possible in collecting data, and in the specific product, of course, is about leopards. You know, just leopards, like, it's a flagship species. Everyone loves leopard. I mean, I hope so. So it's quite an easy species to start such a project with. So it's basically getting people involved that are not normally involved into research and conservation, and getting them to contribute and to be like hands-on on the ground and to be our eyes And yeah, so that's kind of like how it all started.
So you talk about it, and believe me, Maureen sent me a really detailed brief. So I'm not an project research boffin, but I have obviously notes in front of me. One of the most staggering things was 35 reserves, 26 lodge partners, and 380 citizen scientists. Now, those 35 reserves, are they all focused within in this region of Kruger, or are they all over the country?
No, it's all in the around Hoedspruit, okay. Actually. So initially, when I started the project, I started in Hoedspruit,
okay.
Just because I had some contacts here before. I lived in Hoedspruit a while back, and so I had some contacts, so that's why I wanted to start here. But then I started in the Hoedspruit area, and then also in the Waterberg, but now it became too big in Hoedspruit. So I handed over the reserve from the Waterberg to another organization, and I'll just focus here. So all of the 35 reserves and all of these lodges are all in the area, basically. From it goes from like the northern one is McLally and the southern one is Sandringham.
Okay.
So and then on each side of the R40.
Okay.
So quite a nice network.
Stunning. And I mean these numbers are staggering. I'm going to read them out, and if I haven't added a zero or not, but the data collected is over 11,000 images and 7,000 sightings. And are you saying from those 7,000 sightings, you've identified about 140 leopards that sort of make Hoedspruit region their home?
Yeah, that's correct. So just to give a bit of an idea, like, so when everyone shares their data, like sometimes I receive, of course, more than one image per sighting. It depends. But then to get like multiple images, and then so 7,000 unique sightings indeed that have been recorded with specific date and time. And then these 140 leopards are the ones that have been fully identified. So sure. I'm confident that they are 140. And then so it means that I have their full ID kits, or at least 80% of their full ID kits. So I have like flanks and left and right flank pictures, front pictures. But that being said, I also have over 200 temporary ID'd leopards, because, for example, sometimes I only have a right flank, okay, of one individual, and then I only have a left flank. So I don't know, are they two individuals or are they actually only one? So I have still a lot of them that I need to ID.
Do you identify them by eye, or you use some form of software to identify them?
Oh gosh, no, I do use a software, I think.
Okay.
I think it would be very difficult otherwise.
Obviously, we live in the wildlife estate, and we have a few leopards who have been named. I mean, obviously, it's not always great fun to name leopards, I always believe, but we've got a few in the wildlife estate that have been named, and it's amazing for you especially to talk about range of these leopards, how far they sometimes travel. You know, I know there's a big male that comes to HWE, and he's been seen all over the show. I'm correct in saying that.
Do you know the name of that leopard, though?
No, I'm not sure.
How good you are following them.
I know he's the big male, which, yeah, I think they call. There's one called Kalua that obviously is a little female.
Kulua is an old female, and then this Mafu male, I think that's you.
Yeah, and then there's the one with the one eye. Which one's that?
Ah, that's Kulua.
So Kulua, she's often close to our house. She likes that top end of the Hoedspruit Wildlife Estate, up Kerry Klapper and that. So we see her area. But there was at one stage a big male that was back and forth between Kai and Glove and ours.
Are you talking about Insakelo?
That's the one I'm talking about. Insakelo.
Yes.
Is he?
Yeah, Insakelo has been an amazing leopard to actually follow. And you know, like what is quite amazing, like with everyone being so much involved, like with Ingwe. So like I hadn't had like so many reserve participating in the project. Once Insakelo left the wildlife estate, we'll have never known when you went. But actually, then I've got people in Kind Glove when the Hoedspruit Game Reserve, so who spotted him. So then I knew he was there. And then he moved to, where did he go? Then he went to next to Zandspruit also. He was on the road. Then he went to Ambrosia Farm and he's been to Chukudu. So, and all of this is possible just because so many people are actually sharing their sightings. But without that, we'll have never know when Sakilo had disappeared.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's the main thing around it is we have this unique opportunity to be able to coexist with leopards. And, you know, Hoedspruit, you know, I don't know how many areas around the world have that coexistence with a massive wild cat like a leopard. And I think, you know, we live amongst them all the time, and we're actually in their home, they're not in ours.
That's correct. That's very true. But I think it helps people accepting living among those like animals if they know more about them also. I think if you create like a strong connection, which is kind of like what I really like about citizen science, that people get really involved in conservation and research, and then they create like stronger relationship with those animals, and then you get more buy-in into those different projects, and then you get more help. So I think, and I've seen like how people have been reacting globally, and it's been great to see like the enthusiasm of all of the participants.
So you mentioned that you have different phases within your organization. Can you maybe just explain the different phases for us?
So it's more like we have different like project that we're focusing on. So of course the biggest one is the citizen science, by trying to get as many reserves and lodges to participate. So I'm also encouraging anyone who is not participating yet into the project to actually join the network. We have some gaps in the map. So like the first one is to try to get to carry on building the network, basically, so we have an even better understanding of the number of leopards in the area and where they are moving.
Okay.
So that's one project. And then actually all of those data are currently being analyzed by one of my students. Her name is Laura, and she's looking at how the leopard are distributed in Hoedspruit according to environmental and anthropogenic factors. So she's using all of the sightings that have ever been shared, and she's going to do a lot of like comparison study, so that she tries to predict more where leopards are going, what type of factors influence their movement. So that's one, that's like a second research project. And then we have a third one, which is actually involving the wildlife states. And I think some of you already might know, but one of the students, her name is Eleanor, and she's preparing a survey with the wildlife estates to try to increase human coexistence in those wildlife estates. So it's really exciting. It's never been done before in South Africa. So, and the idea is to try to provide some guidelines for estate managers. So the management of the estate have already participated to the first stage of the survey. And now we're actually going to involve soon the residents of the estates, and by sharing a whole questionnaire that we're going to ask people to complete. So that's like the third project, and then we have the fourth one that we are starting just this year, which is our road ecology project.
We're gonna come back to the fourth one because we want to talk quite heavily on that in part two of our discussion. But just quickly, how do I become a citizen scientist if I'm wanted to? What I need to do, and what is the process of becoming a citizen scientist?
So basically, there's different ways. So I receive data from a bit all over the place, I'm not going to lie, but the easiest is that if you share any sighting in the Hoedspruit area on a mobile app. So I'm using the Smart Conservation Tool mobile app, which is available on any Play Store. And then there is a link that I will be that I share also quite a few times already in different social media platforms, where basically you click on this link and then you have the project on your phone. And then from there on, wherever you see a leopard, doesn't matter where, you can just log your sighting. So I need a picture, because without a picture, I can't ID that leopard. And then you have to share the GPS location of that sighting, the date and time. And then you can say where. So you can also add information as like where, which reserve you were when you've seen it, who you are, give some information. And then as much as possible, I try to give back, to give feedback about who that leopard is.
Okay.
So I receive a lot of data by the smart app. But for example, in HWE, in the Hoedspruit Wildlife Estate, there is actually one of the resident Werner who decided to become an ambassador for the project.
I saw
He's now gathering the data from the rest of the residents.
Okay.
So now he gets, everyone send him the information, and then he formats everything for me and then send it to me every month. And I have quite a few ambassadors. I have 8 different ambassadors, 8 different reserves that are helping gathering data.
So for example, and I live on the HWE, so I refer to it, we have a leopards group, and if anyone spots a leopard, they generally are posting it on that group, and I think Vanna did introduce himself on the group a while ago. So Vanna then obviously takes that data, and so what? And I'm just hitting the breeze here with some conversation around what about duplicate data? I suppose if you've got the date, the right date, then you know someone logged it with Vanna, but he also put it on the app, and you know it's not duplicate. I suppose date and time are very important as well.
Yeah, exactly. I do see that, but it almost never happened, actually, that I got duplicates, because, yeah, people know normally who to submit it to. So HWE now, since Werner proposed to become an ambassador, everything goes through him, basically. But at worst, yeah, I would see the coordinates or the date and time is the same, or pictures are the same. So I will pick it up very quickly.
And then before we take a break for some music and come back and talk about the project on the go, if people want to make a donation to Ingwe, because obviously you're an MPC, is there opportunity on the website for people to make a donation, no matter how big or small, towards leopard conservation?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, we have a website finally that was actually all made by a friend of one of our directors. So thank you to him. But anyway, so we have a donation page, and there's multiple ways to actually donate. It can be directly on our bank account, via PayPal, or we have a GoFundMe page also. And there's also opportunity to, for example, like sponsor a leopard. So there is 6 leopards that are displayed on the website, and if you say you want to sponsor a specific leopard, then it means that you would get specific information about that leopard. So there's many different ways you can donate equipment also. All is on our website. Yeah.
And that's the website URL is www.ingwerresearchproject.com.
researchprogram.org. ingwerresearchprogram.org.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, we're going to pop that up on our social media too. We're going to give Maureen some time to catch her breath and have a glass of water, and we're going to play some Cars, which is quite impressive in terms of what we're talking about. The Cars with Hello Again, and we'll see you straight after that for the second part of the chat. It's 15:35 or 24 minutes to 4 o'clock. It is still the 6th of February, and I'm talking everything leopards with Maureen from the Ingwe research program. Really nice to have you here, Maureen, and so glad to know that someone is looking after our leopards. Also amazing to believe that we have between 140 and 200 odd leopards in our territory, which means that they are thriving and living well. But one of the most tragic things that's obviously happened is, as we said earlier, is we live in their habitat, not the other way around, and with that, roads and cars have become a dreadful problem. So, Maureen, give us a little bit of breakdown as to the Phase 4, the new project that you guys are busy rolling out.
Yeah, so as I was mentioning a bit earlier, like the 4th research project that we are currently running, that actually just started, is our road ecology project. So it's a very exciting project, but it's also a project that is a bit sad, just because basically the whole idea behind that project started last year. So last year, I don't know how many of you have heard about it, but we lost 7 leopards on the road between May and October 2024. We lost 4 in a row in May, and then another 3 in October. So, and then another one was hit actually by the train. So in total, we lost 8 leopards, basically, but 7 on the road. And, you know, that was a big shock. And I didn't know about that issue. And I think most of the people didn't know about that issue neither. And I remember when sharing it on social media, because I wanted people to know what was happening. And it was terrible every week to share, a new picture, to announce it again, that another leopard was hit and was killed. So yeah, that triggered a lot of emotion from a lot of people who were sending me messages saying, "Maureen, what's happening? What are you going to do? What is Ingwe going to do?" And then we had to focus on that basically. And then, yeah, I talked about it with different partners and then with the board of director. And then we decided that it's a topic that we would like to try to tackle and to understand mainly.
So explain how the project works and what do you want people to do effectively? Because it's again relying on data and information from people on those roads.
Yeah. So what was quite tricky about all of this and the fact that I was sharing all of this out there is that people were telling me, like, we need to act now. You need to find solution now and let's put up signs and let's reduce speed limit and all of this. And I was like, hold on, like, we can't do this now. You can't implement any mitigation measures if you don't have the data, if you don't know what is actually happening. And in any case, any mitigation measure, which is going to be phase two of the project, it would be in consultation with all of the relevant stakeholders and the people involved. But yeah, the first phase of the project is going to last about 2 years. I know it sounds long, but it's better to do it properly than to do it fast and then doing it wrong. Because, yeah, we can't. There's no point of implementing mitigation measures without the data, basically. But phase one of the project is divided in three sub-projects, and the success of that project really depends on the people of Whitspread. So that's no pressure.
None taken.
But if we actually want it to be a success, we need the people of Whitspread, businesses, lodge owners, residents, to participate in our survey. So I can give you a bit more info.
I think it is. So effectively, we're asking people now, when you are driving on the R40 and what's the other one? 537.
It is the 527.
So the road that runs from here to the JG Channel, and then the one that runs to Palabora and the one that runs to Hazy View, and probably also some of the feeder ones like going to the airport and things like that. Yeah. And the Guernsey roads and some of those. We're asking people that when you drive on those roads and you see a leopard crossing, is to notify you where that leopard is actually crossing. Mm. Correct.
Yeah. So we're focusing on leopards because of the project, but we want to find solutions that are going to benefit all of the wildlife. The leopard is our flagship and umbrella species. But we need to find solutions for all of the species, because it's not only leopards that get hit. Wild dogs also get hit, hyenas, jackals, civets, without counting all of you birds and snakes and all of this. So we don't only want people to actually record roadkills of leopards. We want people to record all of the roadkills. Okay. So as you said, it's like we are focusing on about 50-kilometer stretch of road on the R40, which is going to go all the way from three bridges all the way down to the junction between the R40 and the R531. And then we're also aware that I know on Guernsey Road also there's been some people also been mentioning about road kills and all of this. So we're happy to get data from Guernsey Road, Argyle Road, the Airport Road, the R527, as we mentioned earlier. So like basically there is a bit of an area there where we want to try to get as much data as possible, but indeed, our biggest focus is the R40, just because we know of all of the accidents that happen. But it's going to be recording road kills, but also we also would like to understand where are animals crossing. Like, and it's going to be a bit tough, but any also presence of wildlife on the side of the road or crossing the road, we want to know about it, because it can help us understand, like, what are the environmental factors, or how is the topography of the area influencing where animals are crossing? What are the infrastructure around, what type of fences, and all of this? So we need people to share all of this information with us. And once we will have all of this information, then we are going to have a bit of a better understanding of what is happening, basically.
So a couple of last year sometime, I was going towards the airport, just left Hoedspruit, between Hoedspruit and Bosbot Village. A male leopard ran from the Kai and Glove side into the freeway. I got such a fright, I was so excited. I looked behind me, there was no one behind me, so I stopped. I actually stopped dead. He got to the middle of the road, and then he wasn't quite sure what to do, so he tried to turn around. A big truck was coming from the other side, so he did manage, and he managed to get back across the bush. But that information, you also want to know, because, I mean, you also probably want to know where they're crossing, because there must be certain places within the roads where they're getting easy access in and out. And, I mean, obviously, if we can prevent those places with stronger fences or whatever, then, you know, to keep them in and not to move in. So if I now saw that, what do? I jump on the app, or do I send you an email, or how do I get that information to you?
So basically, first is very scary, what you just explained.
It was fantastic. It was an awesome sighting.
I know, it's exciting.
The adrenaline was also very, I reversed all the way down the hard 40 for about 10 minutes to whether I followed him.
Yeah, I know, like that, sorry, but then it's like, I know he crossed the R40 quite a few times, and I have a picture of him actually that someone took about him, like crossing the R40. But anyway, so basically, any of those type of sightings, then we're going to ask people, if possible, to, of course, slow down and pull away on the side of the road to try to report that sighting or that roadkill. Okay. And so there's two different ways to do it. The first one, which we think is the easiest, is to use WhatsApp. So we are actually going to, you will see now all of the social media pages around Hoosepad, we're going to share that community WhatsApp group that has all of the details of what information exactly we need to use your data. So and then that WhatsApp group is going to be open, so it can be shared also to as many people as possible, and then people can just log, like share a picture again, date and time, and the GPS location. So it can be done on WhatsApp, and like especially for the roadkills, I'm also aware that it might be a bit traumatizing for some people as well. So we have a bit of a warning, like it might be graphic images on this, but there's also opportunity to log it on the smart mobile app, the same app where people are logging their leopard sighting. There's also an option to record roadkills and wildlife crossing as well. So both links for both options are going to be available to the public. And we are really asking everyone to share it to as many people as possible. We want the data collection to start now in February, and we're hoping to see it having more and more people contributing. So, yes, basically how we're going to record the first set of data.
So I'm going to ask Maureen to share it with me, and then I'll put it out onto all our platforms as well, so you guys can get involved. We're not going to let Maureen disappear too easily back into the wild. So we're going to bring her back on a regular basis. I've asked Maureen to think about maybe doing a monthly leopard insert, talk about leopards. Let's talk about some of the characters, talk about where we are, let's talk about the project, and let's try and keep it first in mind. As you know, it's Brett FM. We're moving into more of a conservation type theme, and nothing better than leopards. So Maureen, I'd like to say, firstly, well done. Great initiative. Great to see what you guys do, and that you, I know how hard it is to raise money and funds and to keep a project like this alive. So hats off to you. So guys, if you want to support it in any way, please go to the website. It's Ingwe Sign.
ingweresearchprogram.org.
You can donate and any way you can possibly get involved with it. If you want any more details, you can also get hold of me. Maureen will send me all the details about the WhatsApp line and how it works. We'll put it out on all our various programs, and then we're going to ask Maureen to come in on a monthly basis or 6-weekly basis, and we're going to chat leopard. Tell us some stories. I know there are a few hair-raising stories that I'm sure she can tell us. I'm also curious to know, have all 140 leopards got names? And if they have, how did those names come about? But we'll leave that for another day. Maureen, anything else you'd like to add before we let you out on your bicycle?
Well, I think, like, first of all, yeah, but thank you for the opportunity. And I just want to say, like, I really count on everyone listening to participate. And hopefully next time we have actually a catch up, I can give you an idea of how many people participated already to logging all of those sighting and roadkills. And also, yeah, just say a big thank you to all of the citizen scientists that are participating, to the lodges and reserves that, like, made this possible, basically, because without all of these different partners, it would not be possible. With my research partner also, which is Transport to Africa, without the support, it would not be possible either. So yeah, I just want to say thank you. And I think it's a whole collaborative work. So well done, everyone.
Well, keep up the good work, Maureen. And thank you very much for everything. Don't go anywhere. I want to have a quick chat.